You found comfort in the pouring rain in the middle of the night.
Good morning, everyone. This is Linda Santavica on Pressing Beyond. When what we love is no longer an option, our purpose diminishes. We no longer have a grip. Yet, miracles do happen, and John Vento is living proof. His love for music had him writing, singing, and rocking with other musicians, but due to the unexpected, his passion was soon silenced. It took a prayer and a promise to put John back in front of a microphone. Good morning, John.
Hey, Linda, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I know. Well, before we get into your story, I want our listeners to know how we first met. My husband, Ed, and I were invited to a concert where you were performing. It was amazing how you shared your testimony. And so I just wanted to give that little pitch before we get started. You mentioned to me that music was always in your life, but it wasn't necessarily a profession.
Yes. Father's side of the family were all hardworking Italian guys, contractors, landscapers, laborers, plumbers. Now, my mother's side of the family were all gamblers or musicians or entertainers, dating all the way back to the early 1900s. So there was quite a legacy. You know, like my great-great-great cousins were the band that opened Forbes Field in 1909. I had another great-great-great cousin that was the private pianist for Mayor LaGuardia in New York City for many years. And a more recent cousin was with Frank Sinatra for 25 years, Ron Anthony, a great jazz guitarist. My grandpa was a great mandolin player who would entertain the neighborhood. Well, first of all, sports was big for me. Work was kind of forefront. My father was a landscaper, and I really loved gardening and landscaping. And I made money, and I had my own car. And, you know, at a very young age, I was independent. I love music. My friends and I would go to concerts 3-4 nights a week. Mm-hmm. And I had the money to do it. The other great thing is I was absolutely 100% drug and alcohol free. So therefore, I was the designated driver. So I was in control where we went. No, there was no thoughts or visions of being in an entertainer or singer in music at all. Focus was work primarily and school. And then my world got rocked when my mother died right before my senior year of high school, unexpectedly. That was a big blow. My father had dreams that I would be a landscape architect. You know, he said, well, here you are, all those years, you got your hands dirty. Could you imagine if you went to school and learned the architectural part of it? You would be a very, very successful person. But I did go to school to satisfy him, and I lasted 2.5 weeks. And I was just a little screwed up dealing with different things, including my mother's death. So we had close friends at Westinghouse Corporation. He got promoted up to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Mm-hmm. So instead of going to college, Dad sent me away to Michigan to get into the world of corporate America and learn about manufacturing and office furniture. And here I am today in that same industry 42 years later.
Okay, so after your time in Grand Rapids, I mean, you were there working in Westinghouse and everything.
4 years.
You came back to Pittsburgh. Oh, 4 years. Mm-hmm. You were
away. It was like my college.
Well, hey, you know, I always say you don't have to go to school to learn anything if you're working out there in the world. And then so you came back to Pittsburgh. So this is like in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm. In the 83, yes.
You were dabbling in music and cover bands.
The Penniels area was filled with all kinds of musicians. And I was screwing around one night at a karaoke thing. And a friend of mine said, hey, there's this little local band that's looking for a singer and you need to go. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, singing karaoke and then singing in front of real musicians are two different things. But I did, and I got the gig, and that was the beginning. Yeah, and it was a little cover band.
And also, too, at this time, you were married.
No, I wasn't married at this time. I met my soon-to-be wife at a gig.
Okay.
So, you know, like, it's not unusual at first. The women love it. And then when we got engaged, the discussion came up. You know, you need to end this music thing. You're really not that good anyhow, which she was right, by the way. You're out late at night. You're at clubs. So when we got engaged in 1989, I promised her that I would never be involved with music again.
It was a broken promise, wasn't it?
That promise was broken 6 years later when I got a call out of the blue from a friend a great friend who's I'm close with to this day, who was a songwriter. He just said, you know, I'm writing these original songs and I want to write them for you and your voice. And I remember I said to him, well, I'm really not that good. And he said, well, the problem has been that you're trying to sing like somebody else. You're in a cover band trying to sound like Bob Seger or Brian Adams or Tom Petty. He said, did you ever try to sing your own songs with your own voice? And that was really, that was like, no, I mean, let's go. And so that was the beginning of diving into music really serious way.
You were juggling between your job and now you're into like this whole new dynamic with music.
Yeah, a lot of dynamic, a lot of deception on my end, because my wife, she absolutely was against any involvement with music. And I was so wrong and so deceptive. You know, I'd say, oh, I have a business dinner. And meanwhile, I'm at the studio. That's just not the right way. And it's disrespectful to my spouse. It ate at my core in therapy and in working through these things and counseling. The marriage counselor even said to me, she said, music is the other woman.
You're cheating on your wife, but you're cheating on music.
Absolutely. There were no other women and there was no drug. Right. But it's the same thing because it's deception.
On that note, no pun intended, something had to suffer. And it wasn't the music.
You're right. Everything suffered. Okay. My marriage suffered. You're dipping your toe in the water and trying to sneak around. Mm-hmm. And the clock, you know, it was like Cinderella. The clock hit midnight, or actually in this case, the clock would hit 8 p.m. Uh-huh. And I'd fly home. No, everything suffered. My relationship with our children and the time away from them. It was not a good period of time. That's for sure. Uh-huh.
Okay, so from what you told me, the marriage came to an end.
Well, after I was separated and realized that my marriage was ending, I started to write these poems. I didn't even know how to create a song. I had no clue. But I did have a book of, we'll call them lyrics, but they're really poems. There's a big difference between song lyrics and poetry. And that's for another discussion. But I had known this guitar player who was pretty creative. I called him and said, man, I'd really love to put some of this stuff. A lot of it was pretty heavy, soul searching. That was the beginning. That would have been in 2001, literally a week after 9/11. I remember it distinctly. Mid-September mm-hmm. of 2001, we went to work as songwriters, started that process of learning the craft. It's been about 20 years now that I've been much more seriously involved and committed with creating original music, learning what's involved with it.
All right. So 2001, you're now back into crafting your own music.
And I'm single.
And you're single.
I'm married now, but it was just 4 years ago that I met my beautiful Michelle.
Wonderful.
So I was single for quite a long 16, time. 18 years. I basically have been on my own for quite a while. I didn't live with anybody. And certainly did not remarry. So just recently, I got married last August to an angel.
Oh, wonderful. Because there was something really significant that happened to you. I mean, it was pretty amazing. And I just couldn't believe your story. But there was a time when you started losing your voice. I mean, you couldn't even talk.
Well, we'll go back a little bit, right? About 4 months before I met Michelle, I had kidney cancer. So, you know, I was raised Catholic.
Right.
And of course, in a distant way, I certainly believed in Jesus as our savior, but me and faith were like miles apart. Mm-hmm. So in January of 2017, I had surgery to remove my kidney and due to cancer. And it was a very, very tricky period. The surgery went great. The cancer was gone, but my biological reaction to that was not good. And I went into really, really deep, dark depression. I had already, it was ironic because months earlier, before even knowing about cancer, I had decided to find a church locally out in the country where I live and wanted to surround myself with people of faith. So I started that process. Then cancer comes along. About 4 months after that surgery, one of my cousins introduced me to Michelle. The introduction was over the phone.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was just, hey, you guys need to talk. So the first question Michelle asked me before we met was, is God the center of your life? And I said, I answered her honestly. I said, well, I'm working on that. Now, the second question she asked, I lied. She said, do you love dogs? And I said, yes. Well, the good news is I lied, but it took me about 4 weeks to fall in love with her dog. So I now love dogs too. Michelle is an incredible woman of faith. God is the center of her universe. Mm-hmm. And everything she does is the Lord is there. She has her own battles with muscular dystrophy, mm-hmm. but she has a smile on her face that lights up a room.
Well, to me, what's so beautiful is that you met her at a time when it was really dark for you, feeling so bad about yourself. You were going through your own struggles. So God sends in this angel.
Yeah. And the reason I'm bringing this all up is because the voice struggles had already begun to occur and I didn't know it. We found out later that during the kidney surgery, when they stick all those tubes down your throat, mm-hmm. that they nicked, quite accidentally, of course, one of my vocal cords and it had scarring. Mm-hmm. Now, if you say to me, hey, the cancer stays or you get your voice damaged, well, I'll take the voice damage. So I didn't realize the damage and continued when I got back into music and performing with my terrible technique as a singer and tension and screaming and rock and roll, I made it worse. And within a year, I had no voice. I was done. It was over. I struggled to speak. I certainly couldn't sing. Went on a path of different procedures and surgeries to try to make it right. I was really optimistic. The first procedure was here in Pittsburgh mm-hmm. at the world-renowned voice clinic, Mercy Voice Clinic, and they were so wonderful, and they're still wonderful. The voice is, there's so many unknowns with vocal cords and all that. We were pretty confident that procedure number one would work. Well, it didn't. And after like 3 months, I then went to New York City to the NYU Voice Clinic, and they injected some stuff. And boy, that was really fun. Have needles stuck in my throat. So that didn't work. And I was pretty discouraged, but my Michelle, in her way, we would go to church. We'd go to Victory or Northway or Allison Park. And mm-hmm. at the end of every service, you know, there are folks that are come down for prayer. And we would go down and Michelle would tell the guys my situation because I struggled to speak. And of course, she would bargain with them and the Lord. And she would say, now, when John can sing again, he's going to write and record an original gospel song. I would, of course, would nod my head like, yeah, sure I am. Meanwhile, I'm a rock and roll guy, but all right, Michelle, if we get my voice back, I'll make that promise.
You make the commitment, sure.
So I started last April, I started to work with a wonderful local vocal coach and voice therapist, Beth Clausen, who is real well known. I started to heal, started to get better, continued with lots of prayers from Michelle and lots of other wonderful people. And by last summer, I was able to sing a bit in a different registry. You know, I have to accept what I have and what I don't have, and started writing again, recording again in a new project. And then about 3 months ago, a friend of mine that's a lyricist, he sent me these lyrics called Let God Drive, and the title just grabbed me.
I love the title.
Yeah. You know, didn't Carrie Underwood did Let Go the Wheel for Jesus or something? Okay. Let Jesus Take the Wheel. So some people criticized us about the title. However, you know, our song is very different from that.
Sure.
And Matt Wolforth, who co-wrote the lyrics, he sent this and the title just grabbed me. There were elements in his lyrics I liked, but it wasn't the story I wanted to tell. So we rewrote them and I went to work on this song, on this new song. My thoughts were to kind of do part of the song my way, which is Americana rock and roll and traditional gospel. So we brought in the Trumpets of Joy from the Aliquippa Baptist Church as a choir. And then mm-hmm. we added other singers. Mm-hmm. And then we used the rock and roll guys that we used to my recordings, you know, the hard rockers. We released Let God Drive in April. And we went to number one on independent Christian radio.
I saw the video on YouTube. It's great.
Thank you.
It's so well done. It went to number one.
It's a number one. It was number one for 4 out of 5 weeks. On independent, and that's important to say because, you know, independent radio is a whole lot different than K-Love, for example.
Right.
And we also were, I think we were also number one in the UK in Christian streaming.
That's incredible. Now, I mean, John, look at this. I mean, when you couldn't speak and you couldn't sing, and then you give God the glory, you write this beautiful song and it soared up the charts. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so if people want to know about John Vento, we go to John Vento, and that's johnvento.com. But John, you have something else that I think is really extraordinary, and I want people to hear about this. The band Together in Pittsburgh.
Our co-founder, Ronnie Moondog Esser, will tell you this was brought to us by the Lord. It just happened accidentally. And it's an organization that creates music programs for folks that are on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. Band Together Pittsburgh. We just do all kinds of great things. We have open stages. We have DJ training where we train people that are on the spectrum to be professional DJs. We do therapeutic drum circles. We do a thing called Spectrum Talent Search, and we professionally video our performers on a professional stage, and we create a cool image. And so it's all about using music as a ministry to bring joy in social interaction with folks on the spectrum.
Oh, that's incredible.
And may I add that one of our board members is Pastor Greg Spencer, mm-hmm. who is the pastor of the Trinity United Methodist Church up in Breckenridge, Natrona Heights. His son is on the spectrum. And Pastor Greg, every event we start with prayer, every meal we start with prayer. Mm-hmm. And he has been such a blessing to come into our family.
You're doing a good thing and giving it back. And that's bandtogetherpgh.org for anybody who wants to learn yes. about that and support you in any way. John, what do you have that's in front of you? Anything coming up?
You know, I got a lot of new music that I'm working on. I'm doing this project. I'm in the Needs Hotel Band, which is a pretty well-known rock band around Pittsburgh. And we perform a lot and the guys are great. And then away from the band, I do these little recording things. So I'm going to continue that. And Band Together is growing. My heart is in that. And then I'm a crazy fanatical gardener. Really pleased to announce I'm part of the Flight 93 mm-hmm. crash site.
Yeah.
The families of the 40 victims have a 15-acre piece of land about a quarter mile from the crash site. And they want to create a serenity garden, a rose garden combined with wildflowers and a place of healing. And
oh, my goodness. You know, we just went there and visited for the first time. I think it was back in, March.
Oh, I just got back from there. This property is a quarter mile away from the National Memorial. This is a piece of property owned by the 40 families wow. of the victims. And there were four Jewish people on the plane. There were two mm-hmm. Buddhists. Mm-hmm. So it is a place of healing and a place of faith. So I was asked to get involved. I am excited and we're rocking. We don't have much time to create
this.
We've got 6 weeks.
That's an extraordinary opportunity, though. I think that's wonderful to get involved.
We're going to make it happen.
John, you have between your music and the band together, and now you're landscaping for this wonderful monument. Your heart is in the right place and you have so much to look forward to.
I've been very blessed. I have a wonderful family and meeting you and bringing, you know, you're now part of our extended family.
Oh, absolutely. John, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You're really a dynamo and I really am excited to see the things that are going to happen in front of you.
Thank you, Linda. And we, your listeners, appreciate what you do. I want to thank you for that.
Well, it's my joy. Thank you so much, John. We'll talk.
Gotta trust, have faith, and let God drive. Let God.